You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody. We've been dishing and washing so much in the shower for the last few weeks. We finally got out, dried off, and here we are. Welcome to Talk Soap, and thank you so much for tuning in. Also, let's see who's on the panel today. Let's not be like The View and have a different panel every day. Let's have the originals back. So, speaking of, let's have Mr. Michael say hello. Welcome back, Michael.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. And of course, Miss Sexy and Yawny. Kelly, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm telling you, nobody has called me sexy in a very long time, so I'm actually quite appreciative.
Well, you can always count on me for a little something, okay?
I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how to feel about it coming from a gay man.
Okay, I was married once, so just imagine that little bit of straight side coming out and saying you're sexy. But you know what? Us gay guys, women, most of us, gay guys think that women are beautiful. So, and you are very beautiful. And I have missed you terribly. And I miss the very handsome and devilish Michael as well. So I'm glad.
I was going to say, where's my compliment? Very nice.
Oh, don't worry. It was coming. It was coming.
Dude, you got handsome and devilish. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'll take it though.
I bet you will take it. But anyway, welcome back to the talk. So we were off for a few weeks, and now that we're, like I said, we're all rested up, we're back to get into it. And there's so much going on, but let's just get right into the thick of things, and let's talk about some soap opera news. I'm sure everybody has heard that Lindsay Godfrey, who plays Caroline on The Bold and Beautiful, was hit by a car over the weekend, and she has two broken legs, and that's not very good. And
the resident Bold and Beautiful expert, there is an update because Noah, I don't know his name. Who's the guy that plays Noah?
Adamson.
Sure. He is, you know, that's his girlfriend or wife or potential wife or whatever. It turns out her legs are not actually broken. The damage is in her ankles, and it's not as bad as they initially thought it was. So he said she's already on the road to recovery. There was a car on top of her, but it didn't break her feet. So she must be like one of the strongest people on the planet.
Yeah. So, well, she must be.
That just sucks. She is my homegirl. I've never spoken to her. I've never even seen anything to her on Twitter. But I love her. She is my favorite.
Yeah.
In real life.
She is a tough cookie because she also is a survivor of Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she battled the disease some years ago. So she is a very tough cookie. I just could not believe it when I saw the pictures. I don't know if you've seen the TMZ pictures of the actual accident site, but I don't know how she survived that. I mean, it's just crazy. So our love and support goes out to her family, and Robert as well. And for those who didn't know, she is, like you said, dating or something with Noah Newman from Young and Restless. So anyway, just want to get that right off the start. Now, we weren't on for a while, so I want to go back a little bit. But a lot of Young and Restless fans know that Chuck Pratt is now the new head writer and executive producer of Young and Restless. And earlier in the month, he gave some hints about what's to come to Young and Restless. And apparently he's bringing some of his old-fashioned writing from what he's done with Melrose Place and other shows and bringing it into Genoa City. So it looks like we're heading into a new direction. For those who have been watching the last month, it has altered a little bit, but in a good way, I think. But it's Daytime Confidential says here, while I won't spoil some specific stories, I will say to look for a kind of Rock'em Sock'em arcs that Pratt is known for. For starters, remember my blind item about a disaster hitting one soap town? Those of you who guessed Genoa City deserve a plaque in Catherine Chancellor's Memorial Park? No, I won't say it's that kind of disaster. I'm sorry, plague. only that it won't be natural and it will impact much of the canvas, especially one forbidden couple. Another big ballsy storyline that Pratt has is, and second in command writer Tracy Thompson have been working on, is a deadly thriller, something that's been lacking from Young and Restless for many times, or for a long time. Look for a murder victim to be a tall, dark, and dreamy man. Well, just from listening to that, I kind of get the hint that that's going to be Joe Clark. You know, tall, dark, and dreamy, that's about the only tall, dark, and dreamy drink of water that's on the canvas right now. So so I'm anxious to see what's going on, if that's in case there's a big disaster. I don't know if you guys remember, well, I mean, especially you, Kelly, that about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they had that big earthquake where, you know, the whole town was like in rubble. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that. Who was it that was stuck in the rubble? I can't remember who was stuck. Was it Catherine and Jill were stuck together somewhere?
Yeah,
like
they
in
were
a basement
stuck.
Or something.
Oh, yeah, they were stuck.
I mean, like, there were so many great stories in that, like in that earthquake or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that the new head writer will, Chuck is infamous for writing some great things in daytime. I mean, primetime, so hopefully he'll bring it to daytime. So let's just keep tuning in. I'm sure most of you know that our Young Restless fans, that Melody Thomas Scott was fallen ill for a while, and they were going to have her be recast for a short time, but she's back to doing very well. She's actually back on set, and she's actually signed a new 3-year contract. So, you know, this means that Nikki is not going anywhere, at least for a few years. For many fans, this is great news. There's been rumors that Young and Restless could face cancellation next year, but it looks like it's just a nasty rumor at this point. There have been many. Are you okay?
I don't know how to deal with that.
Those are lies.
Yeah, they're lies.
I'm having a terrible reaction to that. I had not heard that rumor. So
yeah,
that's like super upsetting. I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Don't recast Nikki. Don't you dare. You write her off for a little bit. She is leaving town because Victor has once again been an asshole. Sorry. A butthead. Yeah. That's what you do with her. You do not recast her. She is an icon. If anybody else on that show is an icon, she is one of them. And so you don't recast her. You leave her alone and let her take a vacation.
Exactly. Well, just to go back
through a lot.
She has been through a lot. Her current storyline is that, you know, she's saying that it's her MS that's bothering her, when she's really just become the town drunk again. But there's also been many rumors that Nikki will hit Victor and possibly injure or kill him. As of now, that is just a fan fiction story. Eric Braden cleared up the rumor that he was leaving the show a few months ago. He said, unless you hear it from him, then it ain't so. He said he was not retiring anytime soon. So anyway, I'm happy that Melody Thomas signed on for 3 more years. That's very promising. Let's go. I'm going to switch days real quick. That's talking about tall, dark, and dreamy. James Scott, who everybody knows from Salem's Bad Boy, he had left the show, and he's landed a new comedy pilot on TBS called Wrecked. And so he's going to be playing a character named Liam, a confident, charismatic, appealing, natural leader, and seemingly the most handsome man in the world, even after the plane crash. So I'm excited for it. I'm really anxious to see, you know, see his transition from daytime to primetime on TBS in this series. Considering his popularity on Days of Our Lives, Scott fits the description perfectly. Reportedly, his character campaigns for human rights, but is a former spittish that's a combination of these two words, British Special Forces military police member. So this is going to be interesting. So that's definitely tune in, and be sure to follow you know, Daytime Confidential. That's where I'm getting that information from, but it's also been on other site news as well. Let's see here. Eileen Davidson has been on, Kelly, I think, did a marathon and got caught up and is obsessed with The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But she, Eileen Davidson was on, I didn't watch it, I'm reading this, but I'm going to go watch it after the show. She was on Watch What Happens Live on Tuesday, yesterday, or day before, wait a minute, maybe it was last Tuesday, but she was on the Annie Cohen show, and she dished about backstage hanky-panky, cocaine dealers, and alcohol use on the soaps in the 1980s. So I'm definitely going to go and get that link on YouTube and link it out so we can all watch the dish that we missed, if for those who didn't watch watch it live. So I'm going to give it to you for just a second, Kelly, and tell us. Now, I'll be honest. I wanted to watch the season because of Lisa Rinna and Eileen Davidson, but I downloaded and watched the first four or five episodes, and I'm just not a Housewives person. I literally was fast forward watching the Lisa Rinna and Eileen scenes. But I will say, because I've been watching Celebrity Apprentice this season, I'm not a fan, but I know Brandy a little bit more now because I've watched her in the boardroom on Celebrity Apprentice, and then she's got a riff with Kenya Moore, who's part of Housewives of Atlanta. So it's all like this one big conglomerate. But anyway, what do you think about this season so far with Eileen and Lisa?
Okay, I love Eileen and Lisa Rinna, because they are, like, when I was in middle school and like my freshman year of high school, I was obsessed with Days of Our Lives, and that's when the Billy and Bo storyline was huge, and I loved that. So I've always been a Lisa Rinna fan. I mean, and obviously I've watched The Young and the Restless with my grandma since I was five, so I've seen Ashley for most of my life. I love both of them, and unfortunately, I can't just watch them because everybody else has to be involved. Like this Brandy chick you're talking about is certifiable. She is crazy. And like going into Eileen's house and telling her that her house looks like an American, like it was decorated in an American Gothic scene. Like, oh, I just can't. She threw a glass. She was at dinner with, I don't know, there were four of them at dinner. And she wanted Eileen to, like, act out one of her scenes, I guess, either from Days or, you know, The Young and the Restless or whatever. And she was like, if you don't do it, I'll throw a glass of wine in your face. And then she literally did throw a glass of wine in her face. And I'm like, I don't know how she, because I mean, like, she just sat there. I just want to call her Ashley. Like, Ashley just sat there and was like, I can't believe you just did that. But she sat there. I would have gotten up, saw the face, and slapped her.
Yeah.
But that's just.
Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna try to watch some more of it because I do want to support and watch my girl. So, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and like the two sisters, I don't know their last names, like Kyle and Kim or something, and I mean, like, apparently Kyle was on one of the soap operas, maybe The Young and the Restless. I don't know. It's been a long time, and I don't recognize her. But I mean, she there is there. Can you tell I'm from Kentucky today? there's so much drama with them, and then again, Brandy has to insert herself into every situation, and so she tries to come between, you know, Kyle and Kim and, like, start this, and she hits one of them. And, I mean, it's just, like, drama, drama, drama. And I had about three episodes on the DVR that I watched on Saturday, and I was just, like, I found myself doing like I do to the soap opera sometimes and being like, what are you doing? Like, how is that acceptable in any society? Like, ever. Like, I don't know what these people do for money, but somehow or another, she's loaded, and she's got children, but all she does is go out and get drunk. So yeah. I'm just like, you know what? That's ignorance. That's just stupid. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, Michael, do you watch any of the Housewives? I lost track of who watches what.
Yeah. No, I watched the Beverly Hills season the first year it was on. So when Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife was on and all that. And I haven't seen it since then. I wanted to watch it because of Eileen Davidson and Lisa Rinna. I just haven't gotten there yet. But that Brandy, I don't like her. I don't like her. So, I mean, like.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't like her at all. And so, and I see people, like, tweeting and Facebooking all about my girl Brandy, and I love Brandy, and that's nice. But they just need to know that Eddie left her for Leanne Rimes, and I think he made the right choice. So maybe I'll get into it. But for right now, that's where I stand. I do not like Randy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There, did you? I don't know if you all want to catch up on that, but there was an episode where they watched the Eddie and Leanne reality show. It showed her and, like, I don't know, two of her guy friends and another girl, and they sat on this big, you know, big white bed with all these pillows because that's how people in Beverly Hills live, and watched this episode and kept talking about how the entire series and the entire show revolved around her. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that they don't think of you ever. Unless they're talking about what a pain in their rear end you are. That's probably the only time they talk about you. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Now, just a segue from this, speaking of Brandy, I know we're totally off topic, but for anybody that's watching Celebrity Apprentice, last night, for the first time in history of The Apprentice and The Celebrity Apprentice, it was down to three on each side, three people on each side. So it was Brandy, Johnny Damon, Brandy Granville from Beverly Hills, Johnny Damon and Ian Ziering from 90210 on one side. And then on the other side, you have Lisa Gibbons, whom I love, Geraldo, and then Vivica Fox, who got her start on Young and the Restless with Malcolm. But anyway, so it was down to that team. So Brandy's team lost, and normally for those who watch, you know, Celebrity Apprentice, one person gets fired. Well, they since there was three, usually they say, you know, the project manager has to bring back two people. Well, there was only three, so they're all three there. Well, then, okay, bam, first Ian gets fired, and so that means it's down to two. So we think, oh, okay, they're gonna go out, they're done for the episode. No. Donald says, no, you guys stay too. So Ian leaves, and then it's Brandy Granville and Johnny Damon, who's a baseball player in New York City. They were arguing back and forth on who, you know, they liked each other too much. They didn't want to, you know, say who should be fired to each other. And Donald just had enough and said, Johnny, you're fired. So then Johnny has to leave. So then it's Brandy all by herself. And I'm thinking, okay, well, Brandy's left. So that means she'll join the other three on the other side next week for the finale. And then he said, you know what? You're the project manager. Brandy, you're fired. So he fired the whole fucking team. I've never seen that in celebrity history. It was so, I mean, you saw today's General Hospital. It was like today's General Hospital yesterday on Celebrity Apprentice. I was just like, wow. I mean, and I love that show. And I mean, it's just great. So anyway, for those fans that are watching and that watch that show, you know what I'm talking about. It was just great. So it was also, it's all a segue tie-in. We're totally off on. It's like six degrees of Kevin Bacon in here. So let's get back to soaps.
Since we're talking about crazy reality shows, let me take a 10 seconds and talk about The Bachelor, because that stuff is off the charts. And I will only talk about one person because I watched it last night and she made my blood boil and I wanted to explode. This Kelsey girl, I don't know who she is. I don't know 100% what she does because she claims to be a guidance counselor, but all of her profiles say she's a writer. And she talks about how her husband died of, and she can't even remember the name of it, okay? I think they call it congestive heart failure. I'm sorry, my dad passed away almost 14 years ago. I remember every detail about that stuff. Okay, and then she's telling the camera in her little one-on-one interview about, she's like, I love my story. It's just so tragic, isn't it? And, like, laughing about it. And I'm like, she has made every bit of this up. Like, there's no way any of this is real. And if it is, she needs to be drug out into an alley and have the shit beat out of her. Sorry about the program. But I'm just
okay.
It's just ridiculous. There's so many basket cases on The Bachelor this year. Like, this is what I do. I watch the first episode, and then I go read the spoilers to find out who won. But because I've heard it's so much fun this year, like, with crazy, crazy bitches on there, like, I've watched every episode so far. I already know who won. But it's fun to watch the insanity on that show and wonder if these women can go be on television. Why can I not get my boyfriend to make a commitment to me? I'm completely normal.
Ooh.
Completely normal.
That's the problem. You're completely normal. You know, in reality, apparently, because based on these shows that we've been shoved down our throat for the last two decades since The Real World began on MTV, you have to have a chaotic, dramatic, psychotic life, apparently, to have any kind of life.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a girl crying during the cocktail party last night because she's like, my story is not as tragic or as interesting, you know, as everybody else's. I'm just going to be sent home. I'm like, you don't have to have tragic circumstances. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, be a real person. Be interesting. Yeah. Like, exactly. Make somebody not want to look like a complete imbecile for having some sort of interest in you.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay. You it's just like, you know, when you haven't had sex for a while, you're just pent up. You got a lot going on inside and you're ready just to explode, like what's going on in Port Charles, which we're going to get to in just a minute. So real quick, let me, before we go back to daytime news, I'm just going to segue right into another crazy reality show. Many people here in America probably aren't able to get it, but it's Celebrity Big Brother, which is in UK. And this season is my first season watching because Michelle Visage, who's best known for, being in a girl group Seduction back in the day, but she's also one of the, you know, main judges on RuPaul's Drag Race since season 3. And she's on it. So I've been watching it. I found a way to watch it. And it's on every day for 30 days. And one of the, quote, celebrities is Perez Hilton. Well, he's already, you know, hated by many. But for anybody who's watched this, and this is just for those UKers or some of the US or some of the people who have been able to find ways to watch it, he's disgusting. I mean, if I can just remember some of the stuff he said. But one thing yesterday that really took me to the boiling point, the only reason I'm watching is because I want to support Michelle all the way to the end. But he said, and he's a drama queen in there, he's caused so much trouble, made people quit and get evicted and stuff like that. But he said, living in that Big Brother house is like dying of AIDS. And I'm sorry, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard a human being saying before, especially for me who grew up in the era, you know, I'm not sure, I forget the age groups that we're all in, but, you know, in the 80s and 90s where it was, you know, the AIDS epidemic was so high. And to hear that, you know, I've had two people very close to me die of AIDS, and he's just doing all this for, you know, to continue to win, because UK apparently is keeping him in, or Big Brother is trying to keep him in for the, you know, the publicity. But I just wanted to talk, you know, you're talking about your crazy stuff that goes on your reality shows. I just wanted to talk about that real quick, because Perez Hilton does have a very infamous blog that's been about out for 10 years. And for like the first 5 years, he was horrible to people. And then he had an epiphany, and then he redid his life. And now he's, you know, he just posts, you know, late breaking news and inside sort of stuff. And he became a dad last year, which was great. But in this show, disgust. I'm not going to give him any more airtime. So with that, I'm going to go back to daytime. And this month, of course, is February, which means February sweeps is coming. So there's February in Port Charles, which is General Hospital, has already started. And it's only, what, the third. So, you know, Monday and Tuesday's episodes have already just got us on the edge of our seat in an explosive way. But also, General Hospital also has Fan February, and it's returning, where you can cast your vote to see which character you like to return. So if you go to abc.com, you can cast your vote for these four characters, and I'm going to ask you, Michael, about these characters once I say who these are. So the four that are up this year to come back to have a special guest appearance, not a reoccurring role, unless it turns into that, it's just a special appearance, are Courtney Matthews, who's played by Alicia Lee Willis.
Really?
Stefan Cassadine, who's played by Stephen Nichols, also known as Patch from Days of Our Lives. And then on Young and Restless, he was Catherine Chancellor's son on there. And Mike Corbin, played by Ron Hale, or Serena Baldwin, played by Carly Schroeder. So the only person I know on there is Stephen Nichols, because he was on Young and Restless on Days of Our Lives. I know that he's a Cassadine on there. So I'm hearing some gasp. Either you've got gas or you're having an orgasm. I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you're not making this up. I hope this is real.
No, this is real. This is real.
Courtney Matthews is Sonny's sister, and she is the mom of Spencer Cassadine. She was with Nicholas. And some people can't stand her. Some people thought she was boring. I don't understand that. At the time, the actress who played Carly, they were best friends in real life and roommates in real life, and it was just fun to have Carly have a girlfriend on the show. So, and she died, you know, in childbirth and all that crap. And I always thought that Helena could have been behind it. Like, I'm like, Courtney's coming back one day. So that would make my day. And Stefan Cassadine, huge. Like, that would make my day too. Mike Corbin, that's Sonny's dad. And, and so he kind of had a bit part, like he was in here and there. I wouldn't mind to see him back. It was kind of nice when Sonny had, you know, someone to be accountable to. And Serena, I would be okay with that, but with Scott being on, Scotty Baldwin and Lucy, Serena is Scott's child with his late wife that Lucy carried via she was a surrogate for. So I just feel that she could kind of come on anyway and be a recurring character, or they could bring her on and keep her on. So if they're really just looking for like a quick visit, like I wouldn't go Serena. Like there's too much material with her to keep her on. But I would, I would make my day if it was Courtney. Oh my goodness, even just know she's alive and then have her go away, I'm fine.
Yeah. Now, just real quick before we go on with that, and by the way, anybody who's listening that's a GH fan, you can go to abc.com to cast your vote, and whoever the winner is, I'm sure General Hospital is going to, you know, make that happen. But how is Stefan Cassadine related to Helena and Nicholas and all that?
So when back in the day when Laura was gone, you know, like she disappeared into the mist and Luke never saw her for 2 years and then she mysteriously comes back. She had been held captive on Cassadine Island, and that's when she gave birth to Nicholas and I can't remember Nicholas's dad's name. But Nicholas grew up believing that Stefan was his dad. And then when he comes back to Port Charles to give his bone marrow to Lulu to save her life, it comes out that, you know, this is Laura's son, all that stuff. And then he finds out that Nicholas finds out Stefan is actually his uncle, not his dad. He had just raised him. And he had been, he'd been big. He was married to Bobby on the show for a time. He was with Catherine Bell, who played Kayla on Days of Our Lives. We just really, really liked him. And then it just didn't make sense that they just let him go. Like it had to have been a contract or a money issue, because storyline wise, he was a fan favorite. And then one day he was just gone.
Yeah. Now, God, it seems like, besides mobs on that show and crazy people on the loose and gunfire, well, I guess I can continue the list, but it seems like what you just said, there's a lot of baby daddies who are raising other people's daddies and don't know that they're the daddies, and there's some daddy issues on that show.
So, there are.
all I have to say is Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. When we saw, we're going to General Hospital now. We're going to start with General Hospital. When we saw Dante wake up in that basement and he looked up and saw that corpse of a body, I just thought of Beetlejuice, because for those who watch Beetlejuice, I'm sure everybody has seen that movie. Beetlejuice had this, there was this character or this guy with like a regular guy with this little shrunken head. And when I saw this quote, Luke corpse, which I'm so tired of this storyline. It was just hysterical. I mean, Dante really bought that was Luke. I mean, come on. If that bomb blew up or whatever, I mean, anyway, I can't even get my words together on that. It was just hysterical. But anyway, we're gonna rewind a little bit, because I had to catch up and mustard. I always say that. I had to catch up Kelly today, because she's a week behind. Shame on her, but she's got a new job, so she's trying to work it all in, which I totally understand. But let me just say, Michael, what do you think about this last week in Port Charles? It has been a roller coaster. So just sum it up for us. Tell us what happened and what you think about it. I already gave her a summary, sure. But just talk us through it.
You know so much, and I'm probably going to forget stuff, but I will say that for so long, this Luke storyline that's been happening, you know, like, okay, when is it going to end? What's going to happen? And then, you know, in real life, Tony Geary had back surgery or something like that and was out for 6 months, so they kind of just touched on it here and there. But lately, like, it's kind of been coming to a head, and I know people either love it or they hate it. And I was indifferent at first, but I'm loving it. And they keep talking about this, you know, other sister. Bobby and Luke had a sister, I think, named Patricia. And everyone is like, what? And they never mentioned this. Don't make up new people. And then a YouTube clip was posted online that they referenced her in 1978 in an early, early scene. So then you start thinking about, well, why didn't they mention her? Is she somehow involved in this? What's happening? And then there's always rumors that Tony Geary wants to leave the show, but when he goes out, he wants to go out with a bang. He doesn't want to be recast. He wants to be killed off in this amazing way. And so then I'm watching it thinking like, uh-oh, is this it? Have they kept this secret? Like, is he going? This could be it. And who knows? And then this whole stuff with Bill Eckert, that was my first thought when we first had this double. I'm like, oh, well, everyone knows about Bill from the 90s. Maybe it's going to be that. But you know it's not going to be that easy. And then So who knows? I don't know. I'm seeing all this stuff. Like when Dante looks up and sees the Beetlejuice, that kind of surprised me. I kind of thought it was going to be Luke, like with beheaded. I kind of thought they were really killing Luke Spencer and that was going to be the last scene. So that threw me off. But then I kind of thought, maybe that's Bill Eckert. Maybe that's why the grave was empty, because Crazy Fluke or Crazy Luke dug him up and put him there and is having mind games. I don't know. And I'm reading all kinds of things about what it could be, and I don't really want to get into that right now. But it's all coming together. And this whole stuff with Sonny on the other side in jail, you know, you're supposed to hate him. He's finally getting his, but he's in jail, and now he's making an alliance with what's his name? With Julian. I'm loving that. And then they get out, and then you find like Sonny trying to like save people's lives, and you're like, oh, you're not evil. You are redeemable. And then we haven't seen Nina for weeks, but then they bring her back on, and now they have Heather Weber with the, you know, LSD that she so handily gets, and she's about to inject her. And then I've been a Nina hater for so long. Now I feel sorry for her. She doesn't deserve that. She's got crazy problems. And so it just, everything is coming to a head. And like today could have been a Friday episode. Yesterday could have been a Friday episode. Like, you just can't tell when these revelations are going to happen. It's just, you just have to watch. So,
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that helped. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Sam and Jake. Today especially was really, really intense. It's been building up for the reveal that Jake is really Jason, who used to be played by the guy that plays Dylan. I just went blank on his name.
Thank you.
Too many characters and actors for me to remember right this second. But you know, so here Sam is in the lockup with Jake, who's been arrested because Carly turned him in unwillingly, but felt that she thought that Jake would want that. So she turned him in. So he's at the, you know, in there, and she's grilling him, you know, this whole figurine thing was kind of fun too, because it kind of tied Jason and Jake's storyline back to Sam. And it even brought Lucas and Brad into the mix, which, hello, where have the gays been? I'm so happy to see Lucas and Brad. And let me just say that sex scene was that scene was pretty damn hot last week. But thank you, Ron. Thank you very much for that. So today, you know, finally, Billy Miller, hello, he's just given it. He has given it. He is really bringing Jason to life. And I'm happy for that, because, you know, I'm used to very dull previous actor playing him. So it's nice that Jason isn't wearing a black shirt. I pray to God they don't put Billy Miller in a black shirt like the old Jason. But we've talked about that before. We want him to be quarantine.
Yes, Jason Quartermain. That's who we want.
Quartermain. Oh gosh. But anyway, so today it got really, you know, we're really close. That last 5 minutes literally went so fast that I didn't even know what was happening, because it was literally like 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 12 seconds. You know, there was so much happening. So Jason is literally remembering that Helena Cassadine is the one that's, you know, got him contained, or what's the word that she said?
Condition.
That's it. So he's coming up with it, and you know what? And we talked about this right before the show. You know how Sam hasn't put the pieces together, which I think that's what it's leading to. Just look into his eyes. You know, you should know that is Jason with a new face. You remember he was in a wreck. They had to reconstruct his face, and he's been under mind control through Helena. So I think that's going to come all out very, really soon. And then on the flip side, you got Dante, who's down there with Beetlejuice guy. And then, you know, Nathan comes to the rescue and gets him in there. And then it ends with Dante saying that wasn't the only bomb, Liz. There was a bomb on the boat. Well, then it flashes over to the Helena and Fluke. And it's kind of funny. I'm not a real big Tracy fan. I'm just not a big one, but she was really, you know, going there today with Helena and Fluke. And so you got that going on. And then you got, and then, I mean, this is just today's episode. Then you got the big, you know, like the old cowboys shooting at the OK Corral. You know, it was like you had Sonny and Julian, Ava and and Franco in the, I mean, who breaks out of prison and then does a carpool? I mean, really, come on. I mean, apparently only you could do that. I mean, you know, that, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just silly.
Oh, it's dead. But the conversations in the van, like on Friday's episode, when Ava and Franco are bickering in the back and Ava calls Franco a bitch, and it was, oh, my favorite moment of the whole show. It was just,
yeah,
I'm glad they carpooled because that was a whole bunch of crazy happening at once.
It was so much crazy. I mean, the fighting scenes were so stupid. Then there was the whole shooting thing. Then all of a sudden they crash. Everybody's got blood over each other. And then as they're going to escape from the van to avoid the cops coming, Johnny Sicario shows up with Carlos. And then they're just pow, 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 pow. I mean, it's just like all this gunfire going back and forth, back and forth. And then Julian gets shot. And then they find a twig and put it on his leg to try to get his leg stabilized. And then you got Johnny and Sonny, you know, pointing guns at each other. And then in the meantime, Ava escapes because Franco pretty much said, see ya, bye girl, and goes.
Yeah.
And leaves her to Carlos. So Carlos is chasing after her. So then, this happened earlier, a couple days ago, and chased her to the bridge. Well, then they had this whole, you know, please, and you know, you didn't think about that when you did this to me. I mean, they were just fighting back and forth. And then all of a sudden, bang, Carlos shoots Ava. And I'm like, oh shit. I was like, oh my God, she got shot. And then, you know, Julian got shot. So brother and sister are shot. Well, then she not only got shot, but the bang tossed her over the ledge. Well, that was yesterday. We find out today the bitch has been holding on underneath the bridge yesterday. And,
yes.
And then so Sunny's like, you know, she's like, help, help. And Sunny, who hates Ava for killing Connie, of course, you know, grabs onto her. And then she just couldn't be held onto. She fell into she fell where Drusilla is on Young and the Restless. She fell into the river and she's going to be gone probably forever. Or she'll wash up on, you know, some other show or something. But so she fell off. And then so at the very end, Michael's sitting in the boat where everybody's about to get blown up. And Michael's talking about that there's no redeemable qualities about
yeah.
It's all about himself. You know, it's all Sonny's. I will never forgive Sonny. And then, of course, at the one of the last scenes, you know, as Luke thinks he's going to get away, or Fluke, I mean, is going to get away from this, he is approached by Sonny with the gun, right? And Sonny's like going to like shoot Fluke. So, I mean, that was just so much that happened in this last, just this week. I mean, it was literally like I needed to take a couple extra Xanaxes because it was just so intense. And it's like, I mean, I know there's a lot going on in the show and it's overcasted. They need to trim the cast a little bit. It's very bloated. But take note, other soaps, this is how entertainment is done, because I watch the other ones and I've watched the other ones as well, but I mean I watch Young and the Restless and there's not this kind of intensity. It may be a little cartoonish or caricature of themselves, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that I joined the GH wagon. So now that you watch today's, Kelly, and you've heard about all this that's happening, what did you think about this?
This is, I can't come up with an adequate word to describe it. It is crazy, because in all of that, you didn't really talk about the fact that, you know, Heather had the syringe full of LSD,
oh, yes,
supposedly to Nina's neck, and she, Paul, not Paul, what's his name, Franco, got her to run away and then put the needle in his own neck and put the stuff in there. What is he doing?
Is he going to be crazy? He'll get to stay.
I'm hoping that his mother is a Looney Tune and she just said that it was LSD and actually just water. Because if Paul just shot a syringe full of, you know, hallucinogenic drugs all up in his veins, that man's probably going to die. I can't handle that. I cannot handle Franco dying.
This also, you know, I think Michael was saying something right there that this will make him, quote, crazy and put him in Fairview or whatever that place is called. And that way he can be with Nina to go to their next level of their storyline. So, we did see at the, if you watch the trailer for tomorrow, you do see that he did put it in him. And Nina said, you just filled yourself up with LSD. Now, I will tell you, Kelly, you didn't watch this back then. This was earlier this year. Or, I'm sorry. See, it's a new year. Earlier last year, Heather did the same thing to Olivia. And Olivia had LSD in her and she was having all these weird visions and stuff and crazy stuff. So you know what? Heather's like the elderly of Sheila Carter. She's just never dies. She just always is around. But it's always fun to have her around because, you know, the actress that plays her is fantastic. So yes. Mm-hmm. So it just so much going on. So right. What do you think?
Now, did you see what else is in the previews for tomorrow?
That fine
Grayson McCouch is in the previews for tomorrow. That man is going to be back on my television. I haven't seen him since 2010 when he left the As the World Turned. And you know what? After our last time together, I got on YouTube and I watched like 7 episodes of As the World Turns. I was just like, I freaking love this show. And I remember watching that last one. And when Bob shut that door and I turned off the lights, I was just like, that's the worst thing ever. And I cried. I was like, it's like it's going off all over again. But anyway, he's fine, and he's back on TV tomorrow, and that makes me happy.
Yes, he is. It's another tall drink of water. He's a little salt and pepper water. Definitely. Let me ask. I was so confused the other day. So I think Sam went to, I can't keep track of all these Jason girls. I think Sam went to go see Dr. Baldwin, or not Dr. Baldwin. Was it Dr. Baldwin? Anyway, but another actor was playing. It wasn't John Lindstrom. And I was like, who is this? So is this temporary or is this just a one day recast?
It was tweeted out that that not to worry, John Lindstrom was filming a pilot, so he wasn't available that day of shooting. So it's just temporary.
Okay, that makes much more sense now. Okay, because I was like, this is like a little kid. I thought he was a young. I was like, this is not John Lindstrom, and John Lindstrom is a little old.
It's almost like they, you can't come to work if you got another job. Okay, who's here that we could put on TV? And they just grabbed the page or the assistant or something. But
exactly. Hey, you production assistant, come over here. You need to be a doctor for the day. But anyway, so it's very, very exciting stuff. So definitely tune in, you know, and I say this all the time, you know, if you're not watching it and you're a YNR fan, you're missing out on some great Billy Miller and Michelle Stafford and even Emmy Ryland, who plays Lulu. It's just great to see that they have new homes and they're just, you know, they're doing great with their new roles. So any last words on General Hospital? Because I cannot wait to talk about it next week because so much has happened this week.
I just have one thing to add. I don't know if any of you saw the TV guide from a couple weeks ago that had How to Get Away with Murder on the cover. But from January 19th to February 1st, there was a 2-page interview called The Fantastic Five that Michael Logan did with the actresses who play Tracy and Alexis and Anna and Ava and Nina. And so it was really cool. They had some good pictures and the whole focus was, you know, like a few years ago, you had to be young, 20 and blonde to be featured on the show. Otherwise you were just in the background. And these five women are women of a certain age and now they're kind of showcased all the time. And it's taken us, and it's a non-issue. It's just, they're a character, let's put them in the show. And so Anna, Finola Hughes, was saying that, you know, when the last people were in charge, she had wanted to come back and she couldn't, like they just didn't want her. And then Frank and Ron came along and that's when they gave her the contract and brought her on and all of that stuff. And so she said that, now that Brian Franz, that was that evil man's name, wasn't it? So now that he was kind of out of ABC daytime, I guess a female is in charge, and I can't recall her name. But she said, you know, when women are powerful and women are in charge, you see women reflected on screen. And then Tracy, Jane Elliott, she came along and threw some shade at Jill Farren Phelps. And I believe the quote was, I'm not so sure about that. Over the years, we've had several women running ABC Daytime and executive producing GH, and they were quite male-centric. They were very busy sucking up to the guys on the show and would dismiss the rest of us. So she's not one to do interviews a lot. She doesn't believe in social media. We really never know what she's about or what she's thinking. And so just that little sentence just made my day. So I just wanted to add that. Check that out if you can.
I definitely will. I get the TV guide. I don't know how I missed it. I get the paper one and the digital one. But I didn't get the paper ones for a while. And they are different, paper and digital, because of my move. I just now got a TV guide, but it was this week. So I'm going to have to look for that online.
My little Davis is on the cover. That's quite good, too. So you'll need it.
She is on the cover of TV Guide?
Yeah. From this issue. So it was end of January, beginning of February.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, that's fantastic. And speaking of Enola Hughes, since we talked also, you know, a lot happened, you know, a few weeks ago, which I don't want to go back because I can't remember everything, but her character kind of is now MIA She got fired from being the commissioner. And that new lady is just horrible. I don't even like her. I don't even know her name, but she's horrible. But is she just taking a break or what? Because it's been all about this other stuff lately. Do you know?
I don't know that so much about her, but I get the sense that with it's just another big story coming on. And this Mayor Lomax, she's been on the past few years, but you see her here and there. And it was just a way to kind of show that the mayor and this new commissioner, I can't remember his name, but it's the one that got recast that Kelly's super excited for. It just shows them in cahoots that he's evil too, and he's not all this high and mighty person. And so it's going to come out in the wash at some point, I feel. But I don't think she's necessarily lessened. But it threw me for a loop, you know, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we know that Kelly is on the edge of her seat for Grayson McCouch tomorrow. And I'm excited too, because I actually watched him in Hollywood Heights, which was the Nickelodeon show that the previous people then went to, what's her name? Jill Farren-Phelps.
Jill Farren-Phelps.
Yeah, she went to go create that with the writer of, I just went blank on it, but it doesn't.
Josh. Anyway.
Yeah, Josh Griffin. Thank you. And Grayson was on there. So it was fun to watch him on there. So now it's going to be great to see him back in daytime, where we definitely miss him. And it's going to be cool because he's going to be working alongside Roger Howarth, who he played Paul Ryan. And so they're going to be, you know, in scenes together. Now, speaking of Paul Ryan, did either one of you see Roger play on The Flash last week or the week before?
No.
Or was it last week? Yeah, that's why Roger's taken. He's going to be off for a little bit he was off, I think, a few weeks ago when he was MIA for a while with her. Him and Nina were off wherever. He filmed a few episodes of The Flash. So he was on last week's episode, if you want to check that out, which was cool to see him in that. Okay, totally off track, and it's 7:46 already. All right, let's go to Genoa City. While there's a lot going on, there's also not a lot going on. So the big thing that, since we've all talked before, Kelly and I, and, you know, poor Claudia. Claudia, shout out to Claudia. I miss her. She's just a workaholic. She just cannot hardly join us anymore, and I miss her. But anyway, Adam has really, you know, he hasn't been on this week yet, and not very much last week. So I'm not sure what's going on there, because they're working on these other Phyllis storyline that's going on. Let's just hold the reins for a minute, because this contains to General Hospital and Young and Restless. Okay, they are now doing parallel storylines. Not only is Jason has a new face, we have Adam with a new face. Then we have today new Phyllis. In the psych ward with a nurse with a needle, and we have old Phyllis playing Nina with Franco's mom, Heather, with a needle. And then the other thing is, there's one more thing that they're parallel. I tweeted it earlier and I can't remember, but they're just, it's like, are they taking notes from each other's scripts or what? It's little things like that. I think it's kind of cute. But anyway, Adam has kind of just literally went a little too fast, I think, for this. I remember when Justin Hartley joined the show, he said in an interview that this is going to go really fast to get him back into, you know, Genoa City. Well, as you know, Kelly, you've been watching it too, that he's literally now to the point, he pops up everywhere Chelsea's at, which is creepy as hell. I was really happy to see that he got to spend a few minutes with his son, with the little car and everything like that. It was really cute, that little scene. And it reminded me of Michael Muni. There's some parts of Adam that really remind, of Justin, I'm sorry, that remind me of Adam, Michael. See, there's too many names. And it's been good. But now he is living next door to Chelsea. So, I mean, it's just like, oh, God, writers, please don't mess this up. I mean, he's just like, you know, right next door now. And Billy's getting perturbed. He's like, you bitch, you're everywhere I go. You're working a Jabot with my wife. You're living next door with my wife, you know. So, but I'm excited to see how this is going to go because, you know, just like we're waiting on General Hospital for the reveal that this is Jason. I think the Adam reveal is going to take a little bit longer because, you know, it's still too soon. The only person that knows that that's really Adam is Jack. And Jack's got his hands tied with a hot mess going on here. So I'm going to ask you, Kelly, I'm going to do a little recap of the story. So we all know that Victor paid for this high-priced doctor to get Phyllis out of her coma that she was in for a year. And she came back to town and she's just been a wreck and havoc. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kelly ends up poisoned. Now, do you think that it's because of her, quote, mental side effects of the drug that was used? Or do you think that Kelly may be a little psychotic and she's planting this to get her away? What do you think?
Kelly is bat shit crazy. Okay. And let me take this opportunity. I am like, I'm on this page on Facebook with a bunch of ladies that just love some Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful. And we talk all the time. So shout out to the ladies over there. But I actually get to talk about the Bold and Beautiful over there and everybody actually listens and cares what I say. Anyway, Kelly is ridiculous. And I mean, like, this is the thing that's getting me about anything that's involved in that storyline. Paul is always so hell-bent about doing everything by the book and doing everything right. And, oh, I can't arrest, I can't arrest Dylan because I don't have any evidence. They have zero evidence except for, like, some shady security video saying that, you know, like, that Phyllis, or they didn't even see her face. It was just somebody with red hair, which you know good and well. That's probably just Kelly with a red wig. But Paul's just like, oh, yeah, go ahead, Cricket. Go ahead and get her. Go get her. And so she's just letting her, like, you know, avenge this personal vendetta against Phyllis, and it's stupid. And I'm in love with the way Gina, however you say her last name, is portraying Phyllis. I was a little bit iffy at first. I was just like, I just don't know if she can do it. But she is rocking it like crazy. Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say today. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's crazy. Kelly is crazy. Stitch sees she's crazy. I'm glad that, you know, Jack talked to her today and was like, look, I don't know what you think, but if me even trying to be civil with you gives you even the slightest idea that we could have a future, then that's my bad because we can't. So there's no telling what she's going to do in the next 2 or 3 days because she's getting ready to snap again. She's going freaking more crazy if it's even possible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that whole thing is like, it blew my mind because it's like one day, you know, you don't hear anything about Phyllis and Kelly having tea or getting together or having a conversation. And the next day, Kelly wakes up in the hospital because she's supposedly, you know, like, quote unquote, been poisoned. And then, like, she's so convincing that she has Phyllis thinking that she's actually got something to do with this. And she just, like, I don't think Phyllis has this, like, I don't think she has anything to do with it. Nothing at all. It's crazy. Every bit of it.
Oh, this was last week, but what do you think about when the scene where Phyllis walks into Victor's office and then he just slams a syringe into her hand, but it was a dream sequence. But what do you think when you first saw it?
Well, I saw it on the preview and I was like, there's got to be something more to this. Like, that's what's getting me lately. Cause like it showed, like they show these little, you know, these daydream sequences or these dream sequences and people are like getting punched and people can see and people are stabbing other people. I'm like, seen Victor move that fast in about 10 years. So there's no way that's reality. Bless his heart. He doesn't do anything except like stand there with his hands in his pockets glaring down at you like you are the scum of the earth. That's what Victor does. He doesn't move that fast.
Yeah.
So you knew it had to be a drink. But I mean, like, I was just like, what in the world? Like, why? What did? Because I don't know what, you know, he's taking all this credit. Oh, I helped Phyllis. I helped Phyllis. And he's not like, he doesn't have a reason to want to hurt her as far as I can tell. So I was just like, what the heck?
I'm confused by Victor's behavior because he was hell bent on destroying Dylan in the coffee house and the whole, you know, property thing that's going on with Joe Clark. And then all of a sudden he just changed his mind. And then he's changed his mind. He wants to help Phyllis. And he's just acting a little weird or a little like soft. But, you know, even Victoria hugged him yesterday, you know, and every other week they hate each other. She hates her dad. So I don't know, something's going on over there with that head case, Victor. But then we're going to switch over to another storyline going on, which is Jill going up against Victor for Chancellor Industries, and some shady dealings going on behind that with blackmail and everything. And so Jill got the money from Devon because Devon had the goods on.
Colin.
Colin, thank you. I need to make a list of all the characters' names because I can't remember them all right now. But he's got the goods on Colin. Colin's got the goods on Devon because Devon's sleeping with Neil's wife. And it's just like, but anyway, Jill got Chancellor back. So I'm just excited because there's a lot of company storylines because Young Arrested have been well known for their corporate storylines from, you know, Jabot versus Newman versus Chancellor, and we haven't seen anything for a while. So then, you know, since we weren't on a few weeks ago, we had, you know, Ashley's back, and, you know, Victor stole the sample that was apparently illegal because it was taken from some root in South Africa or something like that. It was just, I mean, you know, there's just so much going on with the corporate stuff now, which is great because it reminds me of the old school, you know, the old school days. Now tomorrow in the previews, we see that they do put Faith, what is she, 6 years old, 5 years old, whatever, on the stand at their parents' divorce. I'm sorry, that's too young to put a child up there. But anyway, what are your thoughts on everything that's going on in Young and Restless before we continue?
Well, I'm on the I hate Sharon right now roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, you know, Nick wanted to, you know, work it out. Hey, let's work out a custody agreement. Because, you know, Faith does need her mother. And then she let her attorney, like, talk her into, oh, if anybody should have full custody, it's Mrs. Newman. Like, shut up. She's, like, on the level of crazy on that show right now. Kelly is at the tip top, but Sharon is right below her. Okay? She's still freaking crazy. And so, yeah. I mean, like, I get aggravated at Sharon because she just, I mean, like, she knows the whole story now about Sage and what happened at the, you know, at Nick's house while Faith was home. But she's going to twist it and she's going to change it around and she's going to tell Faith it's okay to not tell the whole story in court. And so I just don't, you know, like encouraging your child to lie under oath. You know, kids, if you're listening, you probably shouldn't be because we've used a lot of profanity. But do not lie in court. Don't lie to the police. Don't lie to a judge. Because if anybody's going to catch you, it's going to be them. Anyway, I mean, that whole thing, like, she's killing me. Like, she's really killing me.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with this quote disaster that happens in Genoa City, and also a deadly thriller. And that's one thing I have been craving from Young and the Restless is a good thriller, a suspenseful, on the edge of your seat stuff that Bill Bell used to write back in the day. We haven't had it for a while. We've had a bunch of wacky crackies that come through the show, but we haven't had a real good villain or a real good whodunit in a very long time. So I hope that they can write a great one, and I'm excited to see what's happening. So let's switch over to Bold and Beautiful. Is Brooke back? I think I read that she's back.
She is, and she's already making me crazy. She comes, I mean, like, okay. I know that she thinks that she, you know, has this, you know, poo that doesn't stink and that she can do whatever she wants and say whatever she wants and everybody has to do whatever she says. Mm-hmm. She comes in after she finds out that Rick has gone. This, I mean, like, Rick is being like a tyrant. He's being an idiot. And, you know, they've drawn up divorce papers. He found Stephanie's revolver in the nightstand, and he was going to give it to his attorney for some reason. And instead of giving it to his attorney, he saw Ridge and Caroline smooching in their office, and he shot at them in the office building.
Oh.
Like, that's called for, you know, like, arrest warrant. If that was a normal person, they would go to jail. I'm just saying. It was crazy. But he's just justifying it like, you know, oh, I didn't hit them. You know, I just shot in a general direction. I didn't hit them. It's no big deal. Whatever. And I mean, like, Rick is just like, I've been saying that for, like, I loved the way he was playing Rick for, the way Jacob Young was playing Rick for a while. And now I'm to the point where I'm just like, dear Lord, have mercy. I'm glad that these actors are so talented and able to make themselves look like such complete monsters. Because, yeah, like, that's exactly what he's doing. But anyway, Brooke walks in and just tells Maya, you know, like, hey, you're pretty much done here. You just need to run on. And tells Rick, oh, you're taking Caroline back. Caroline, you're going to forgive him. Rick, you're going to take her back. And I was like, you haven't been there. You left town. So, you know, like, so Bill would go back to Katie, which happened, and I don't think she's happy about that either. See, she doesn't know what to do. So, you know, Bill went back to Katie because they got engaged today, and he put a diamond on her finger the size of my head. It's insane. Anyway, but, you know, and that Rich is kind of interested in Caroline, but they wrote her this scene today, and she was trying to tell Caroline that, you know, she could, if she wanted Ridge back, she could have him back in a snap. And so, like, every time Caroline would say anything, Brooke would get in her face and just, like, snap in her face. I could have him back that quick. I mean, just, like, 4 or 5 times in a row. This is silly. This is just silly. So I was totally okay with Brooke not even being there. Bless Catherine Kelly Lang, because she is one of the best actresses probably alive. But mm-hmm. Brooke kills me. But speaking of people coming back, Steffi is also back.
Yeah.
And she's going to help Liam. She's going to help Liam get control of Forrester, I hope. So, yeah. I don't know. It's all so crazy. And then, you know, there's the cute little lovey-dovey story on the side with Katie and Bill. And that makes me happy because I love Bill. Love him.
Yeah.
But
it's interesting to hear. I mean, not interesting. It's kind of bittersweet to hear, you know, when you talk about Bold and the Beautiful, because, you know, I watched it for 25 years, and this month it's been a year since I've watched it. And, you know, because I just couldn't take the trilogy or the, you know, the trifecta anymore of Liam and Hope and all that. I just couldn't. And you know, when you do your recaps, it just seems like, I don't think I'm missing anything. And it sucks because, yeah, I've watched it for 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're really, at this point, you're really not missing anything, because it's really just like humdrum and, you know, like, oh, Rick's being a, you know, an a-hole again. Surprise, surprise. And I mean, like, they're saying in the previews that, you know, Wyatt, who has gone to Italy to attempt to save his marriage, is going to have to come back and beg Rick for his job back, yeah, you know? And Wyatt didn't do anything, you know? Wyatt did nothing to have to, you know, to justify having to beg for his job, but that's the way it's going to be. And I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I'm so used to The Young and the Restless, and in all the time I've watched that show, I've never, ever, ever, I'm sure I've said this before, I've never seen a lead model in any executive meeting ever. ever at Jabot, at Chancellor, at, you know, Newman, whatever. The models don't come there. They don't care. But, you know, Maya just happens to be in her, you know, her little fake power suit and shows up everywhere. And it's just like, seriously, like, you should go away. You just should.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, and when we started the show, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited because I actually have some stuff to talk about on The Bold and the Beautiful. But now that I'm actually talking about it, it's pretty ridiculous and boring and terrible.
Well, that's hence the reason why we let you go last with that, because it's, you know, me and Michael don't even watch it. So we're like, we'll just let you have your shot shine on the spotlight. Just like Rosie got to be the host of The View for 2 weeks while Whoopi was out. So you got to have your moment in the spotlight. So we're going to extend this just a little longer. I do got to get off here shortly because I got to cook dinner. But I do want to touch on some hot topics because a lot has happened in the world of reality, as in real reality, that I just want to get your comments on, because, you know, my Men Who Gossip show hasn't premiered yet, so I haven't had a chance to talk about, you know, hot topics with anybody. But since I got you guys on here, we're gonna cover a few of the big things that's happened since we last talked. But first, I want to talk to Michael so I can bring Michael back into this. And I mentioned it at the top of the hour that The View has had consistent. Non-consistent, inconsistent, you know, it's one of those damn words, a co-host for so long. I mean, when Rosie Perez left to go do Broadway in January, and she comes back today, and I can't wait to watch it to see how it is, because there was rumors and stuff that she was, you know, out, that she was not coming back, and it was a big thing. Well, for a while now, for anybody who watches The View and watches it really close, when they have five people on for a long period of time, that has been history of them trying to see who fits in good to replace someone. So they did that with Jenny, you know, to fill in Joey Behar's role with Jenny McCarthy last season. So I was like, okay, so Rosie's not coming back. So they're trying all these girls. Some of them even came back a couple times, you know, Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child and Naya Rivera from Glee. And there was a lot of people who was just, it's just like every day it's like a different show. Like, and so yesterday I was like, okay, I'm excited because it's going to be Whoopi, Nicole. Well, today will be Rosie, a third person, and then Rosie O'Donnell. Well, Rosie O'Donnell wasn't there. Rosie Perez wasn't there. Nicole and Whoopi was there. And I was wanting them to talk about the Bobby Christina, which we're going to talk about in just a second. And I wanted to get all and it's just a crazy mess. But then I go on, because I watch these every day. I watch the same three shows. I watch The View, The Talk, and Wendy Williams every day. And so, but you turn on to The Talk, and it's always 98%, always the same five girls. And it's very frustrating because I love The View, and it's, you know, it actually topped the Talk in ratings last week, which I'm surprised because of all the, you know, for someone who may be new to the show, they may think, oh, is this just a rotating show? Sort of like my show, how they just have rotating co-hosts all the time. But it's just interesting. But anyway, what are your thoughts about The View and you know, this year, I guess I should say, Michael?
Yeah, I totally agree. And like I said, I didn't watch it really before this season, only like a handful of times when I knew someone I loved would be on. But I fell in love with the chemistry between the Rosie and the Nicole and Whoopi, and I just loved it. And I know that anytime something changes, they expect it to be just as good, if not better. And nowadays, it's not given a chance to kind of like to find its way or to find its footing. You know, all of a sudden, if it's not what we want exactly, we got to change it up. And so when the ratings, some sources say the ratings have slipped, other sources say the ratings are the same. It's just the ratings and the demographics that have slipped, but overall, it's the same. Who knows? But it seems that in trying to find something, like they changed the sets, they changed the colors, they keep making all these changes to get it. But all these changes are making me crazy. You know, I want let's give them some time to find these four together. Like, you notice when Rosie Perez is absent, you know, she brought something different. The rare times when Nicole isn't there, I think it's only been once or twice, like, you missed her. You know, these four main ones, when when it's not, when they're not there, it's just a different show. And it's still enjoyable, and it's kind of fun to get to know some guest hosts sometimes, but five is just too much. Not everyone gets to talk. I really miss it being four. So I'll be glad when Rose is back today. I want to check that out. And I think, like you said, when Whoopi was out for medical stuff, like, you know, Rosie O'Donnell wants to be the moderator. She just can't wait to do that. So, I mean, so she got to have her time to shine, you know, but then you see Whoopi back and Rosie seems genuinely happy that Rosie's back. So you hear these rumors behind the scenes and all of that. But as far as the actual product goes, like, I just can't wait for the four of them to be back. I will say that in the beginning, even though I really love Nicole and I was so surprised that she became my favorite, she has really seemed to find her footing. She seems very comfortable at the table. She seems comfortable like bringing up an opinion that might be different in a respectful way. And I think she's done really well. And so all these reports about Rosie Perez saying she just, you know, she couldn't get it. She didn't understand the balance between hard news and soft news. I don't buy any of that because I thought she brought something really good to the show too. So I don't know. So I'm glad she's back. And who knows if the rumors are true and she's only here the rest of the season. I mean, that's not unheard of. They change co-hosts from time to time, but I just want them to give these four a chance to find their chemistry and find their footing, because I think if they do, it could be really good again. And they need to stop messing with us to try to make it better. I think it's going to happen on its own.
Exactly. And you know, and I love Nicole too, because I was an anti-Elizabeth. So when they brought on Nicole, I was just refreshing and as you said, you know, she's getting her footing, she's getting more comfortable, but she's also getting a little too comfortable because she's starting to get in the whole interrupting thing. She seems to, if you notice, she's starting to be like the rest of them, where they just talk over each other and stuff. She used to be very reserved and wait her turn, but she's really interjecting a little bit more. So when they all just start going crazy talking over each other, that's one thing. That's what I'm so about it on my shows when I have multiple co-hosts. It's just you can't hear people when they're talking over each other, and it's just very frustrating. But I will say, before we move on, how much did you enjoy Rosie being moderator? I thought it was so much fun. I thought it was actually a little bit more fun than when Whoopi is.
It was fun, but I don't know. I'm still getting used to Rosie being in an ensemble. You know, she is a star. I've loved all of her shows she has done, and sometimes I feel it's when Rosie's in charge, like it's more about her. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because she's Rosie O'Donnell. I'm still going to watch. But I feel Whoopi, when she's in it, she kind of has a way of kind of like bringing everybody into it. And Rosie will kind of, Rosie does too. But when Rosie's in charge, it's almost like the rest of the people are just there to, you know, agree with her opinion or kind of, you know, I don't know, fit into her mix. So I don't mind it, but I don't want it to be the permanent thing.
Yeah. Now, have you noticed, I'm sorry, Kelly, I'm going to bring you in on the last three hot topics before we go, but have you noticed how adult they are? Speaking of, Mario Cantone and Rosie had a segment called Master Baking with Rosie, or Mario.
I missed that. I do have to watch them. I'm a couple episodes behind, but yeah.
Oh my God. That was last week. And they're, you know, they're slipping the tongue with the F word. And I mean, they're just a little too loosey lips for daytime at 10 a.m. in the morning or 11 a.m.
Yeah. It's so funny though. I mean, soap operas. I mean, when we had 19 of them on the air at the same time, soap operas were on at 10 a.m. And because the suits didn't care or the male executives didn't care about what women watched, I mean, soaps could get away with so much stuff at 10 a.m. And then it's so funny that the same department, just because it's a live show or it's, you know, a show like this, like if they do something a little like, oh, that's too dirty for daytime, turn the channel and look at else what's on another soap. It's just kind of funny how even though it's the same time frame, you can get away with different stuff depending on your genre.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep continuing watching because I watch those three shows, like I said, The Talk, The View, and Wendy every day to get the latest hot topics, you know, once I get the shows back going again. And because I like talking about them and I'm anxious to cover stuff. But I just wanted to say you get your words about the tragedy that happened over the weekend with Bobby Christina. As everyone has known, I hope by now, unfortunately, that Bobby Christina was found unresponsive, upside down, or, you know, face down in a bathtub. She had lost, she had quit breathing, no oxygen for 5 to 8 minutes, which was just announced today. And 2 weeks before the third anniversary of her mother, Whitney, who also died. I mean, I'm sorry, not also, but was also in the same situation where she overdosed on drugs and drowned in a bathtub. So that was shocking. I mean, it really just through all of every, you know, social media and everything, you know, it's just so sad. It's so tragic that her and this brother, ex-brother, new lover, supposedly husband, you know, were in a situation where there were drugs there and this has happened. We don't know all the exact details. Bobby Brown released a statement stating that he just wanted to, like, you know, back off, give us, you know, some space. But the reports have also said that there's been a major brain, diminishing brain damage. So as far as I know, I don't know, because Extra and Inside Edition and all that stuff hasn't been on yet, so I haven't caught up to the latest. But what was your thought, Kelly, when you heard about this?
I mean, it's sad. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I still sometimes I read those, I look at those lists and stuff where it's like, you know, celebrities that died too young and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I forget that Whitney Houston should even be on that list because yeah. like, and then I miss her and I go through this whole roller coaster of like listening to, you know, the Bodyguard soundtrack and it's just whatever. But I mean, like it's, I don't know if it was an accident or if she, you know, maybe she just misses her mom so much that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it baffles me. It baffles me. It strikes me as she's kind of similar to the way I deal with it. I mean, if I can say I'm like a celebrity in any way, shape, or form, it's how I emotionally deal with things, which is not at all. I was my dad's biggest fan, but I mean, like, I don't, you know, I didn't, like, show emotion about it. You know, if you ask me if I'm okay, yeah. You know, I'm smiling, I'm, you know, whatever. And in every picture you see, you know, there she is. She's smiling. She's, you know, I mean, she's a beautiful girl. And bless her heart, if she is that messed up and just, you know, broken inside that she maybe went that direction, I mean, you know, prayers for her and her family. And I mean, like, if there's a situation where we can ever feel bad for Bobby Brown, I mean, that it has to be this, because I mean, not only did he lose his, you know, were they married when Whitney Houston died?
No, they were
estranged. Okay. So he lost his estranged wife or his ex-wife or however you want to look at it, you know, to this tragedy. And then, you know, now for his daughter to be in a similar situation, I mean, it's a lot. So, I mean, you know, it's weird to say, like, I'm praying for this celebrity, but I mean, like, I do, you know, you see stuff like that and it's just like, you know, whether it's nothing like long and drawn out and elaborate, you know, like I'm not, crying and
yeah.
sobbing and throwing my hands up, but you know, a quick prayer for that whole family, you know, it's probably appreciated. And I don't know, I mean, it's just I feel like I've rambled for a couple minutes, but and all to say, like, I don't, it blows my mind, like, because
yeah.
I mean, she lost oxygen to her brain for, what'd you say, 5 to 8 minutes? That's pretty devastating.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so I mean, like, she's not going to come out of this unscathed. So, I mean, I guess now the only thing to do is wait and see just how bad it is.
Yeah, very, very sad. And it's, you know, we just had the Lifetime movie Whitney 2 weeks ago as well. So, and there was a lot of press and you know, people going after her, you know, what do you think? But, you know, it's very overwhelming. And it's also, you know, almost time for, sadly, the third anniversary of her mom's death. So it's just so, so sad. Michael, what are your thoughts before we move on?
Yes, same as Kelly's. It's just very sad. And I was a huge Whitney fan, and she's the best singer ever, and all of those things. And it's just hard, you know, it's the timing, I just don't even really know what to say. It's, you know, she lost her mom. She's grown up in Hollywood. I already think, like, when you're growing up in the spotlight, it kind of, it does a little something to your maturity in a sense. So even though she's 21, like, I feel her being 21 is different than us, you know, when we were 21. So like Kelly said, you know, there's a smile. that doesn't mean everything's okay. Who knows how long things have been going on? Who knows if there's addiction or not? It's just really unfortunate. And the thing that I don't really understand is, and the stories that are out, you know, they say she was face down in a tub, but no, I've read, I don't know, at least a dozen articles, and none of them mention whether or not there was water in the tub, if she was, you know, in the bathtub like Whitney. Like, we know that Whitney was face down in the water, she drowned because of A, B, and C, but no mention of water is there. So, like, how exactly the same is it? Did she just, I don't know, did something happen and she just fell into the tub? I mean, not that that makes it better or worse, but paparazzi and news outlets, they love drama, and they're just... they're having a moment with this by saying, like, oh, she's doomed just like Whitney. And that's not what the family needs right now. No, they just need their time. They need their space. They need our prayers.
Exactly. Another big thing that happened, I mean, so much happened over this weekend. It was finally revealed that Bruce Jenner is transitioning into a woman. Many of us who have been watching, you know, either, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians or watching, you know, the news and seeing the tabloid pictures, that he's, you know, slowly has been doing something. And we've all kind of, not all, but a lot of us has assumed, and it was confirmed this weekend, that he is, you know, now becoming a woman. And it's been a process in the making. The only thing that I don't agree with is that he's making a reality show to follow his journey. And I think the Kardashians have enough spotlight on him. I think if I was in his shoes, I'm sorry, I got to use saying her, because they've been using the word she a lot lately with him. So it's going to be hard to confer that pronoun. But, you know, do this in private. Don't go be on the air. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's the type, like, because he's not a Kardashian, he's a Jenner. But, you know, he's not like the Kardashians where they're always, you know, they got all these shows and, you know, they're famous for being nothing. He was a very famous sports person. Was it like, what was he even?
Yeah,
what
I love it. Gold medalist.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's always been kind of private. So this is kind of sad. I don't know. I just don't think that he should do a reality show, but that's just my opinion. You know, some things need to be kept undercover. And but then again, on the flip side, I've heard the other version that this is going to help people who don't know what this is all about, to watch someone that they admire, such as Bruce, to do such a life-changing event and actually, you know, see his transition. So there's two ways to it. But anyway, Kelly, what are your thoughts on this topic?
I think it's stupid. I'm sorry. I know people have, like, differing opinions on, like, whether you're born a certain way, whatever. Mm-hmm. I am of the firm belief that God makes you the way he wants you to be. And he made Bruce Jenner a man. And I'm sure that he didn't want Bruce Jenner to be a woman, or he would have given a vagina. But no, the man has a pecker. He's a man. But it's stupid. Stupid. And I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is all just, you know, like, oh, you know, there's just not enough publicity about the Kardashians anymore. Let's make something up. I mean, like, who confirmed this story?
Now, haven't you seen the photo? I mean, I'm not going to, you know, create an argument.
I know. I've seen it all. But I mean, like, you can doctor some stuff. Like, you can Photoshop and stuff. And
well,
I think there's people that are bored enough that they will sit in their mother's basement on their computers and, like, you know, Photoshop the hell out of a picture of Bruce Jenner and make it look like he has on lipstick, fingernail polish, and he's growing boobs. Like, I believe that. I hear Bruce Jenner himself or herself or itself or however he wants to be referred to right now come out and say, yes, I am transitioning into a woman because that's what I want to do and I am an idiot, or however he wants to explain it. Like, that's just another one of those, like, you know, quote unquote news stories that you hear, and it's just like, seriously. Like,
well,
we have, and this is, like, I know it's, like, you know, a social thing and whatever. We still have wars going on. We still have ISIS cutting people's heads off, and there's probably a decent percent of the population that are more concerned about whether or not Bruce Jenner is going to transition into a woman. And that is what sucks about our society right now.
Yeah, but I totally agree, but I just want to say that Diane Sawyer did lock an interview with Bruce, and Bruce will be on Diane Sawyer's show very soon. So we'll get all the latest from the mouth of Bruce. Michael, what are your thoughts?
So one thought is that people just love to make fun of the Kardashians, like in general, and I love the Kardashians. I watch the show from time to time, but if it had been, you know, it was actually Russell Brand that had made a little video, made a comment on it, you know, that if it was any other person, if it was a stranger, if it was someone who was young, you know, and it was the same scenario, like we think this person is transgender, we think this person's transitioning, our instinct would be to say like, oh, wow, or how can we help? Or that's, what are you going through? You know, but because it's Bruce Jenner, it just becomes kind of ridicule. So that's unfortunate, but I see that. I don't know. You don't see all these rumors are coming from outside of the family, like whether it's publicity or not, like you, like every time he's on the magazine, you know, doctored up or not, you never really see the family coming down saying that's not true. We didn't say that, you know, they're being very hush hush about everything. And it kind of, the whole idea of the reality show, I'm not against it. Being in the Kardashian realm, I can see why some people would feel that way. But on the same sense, he's been very quiet about everything. And it's almost as if anything he wants to say about his situation, he's going to do on his terms. And maybe that's the reason for the show. The other part of it is that you see a lot of, well, not a lot, but I mean, when you do see like a transgender news story, a lot of times it's centered more on youth. And here's a man who you said, you know, Olympic gold medalist, had this, all these different lives, you know, and now in their 50s or 60s even, you know, and at this point now is ready to embrace this part about him and make this transition. And so like, why now? You know, what could this mean? You don't really see that too much. So I kind of think the reality show would be a little interesting to kind of see, you know, look at this. And the Jenner marriage lasted over 20 years and then kind of quietly got divorced. Kris Jenner doesn't speak poorly of it. You know, they're still good friends. Like there's clearly all these little clues that, you know, they've been in on certain things, and now it's just kind of like when they let the rest of the world in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will see.
I slightly overreacted. There are probably people who do deal with this every day, who deal with the decision of whether or not they want to go through with that process. You know, whether that's actually, you know, a journey they want to start or something they want to do. But the thing that, I mean, like, we don't see it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see on the news, you know, Joe Schmo today that works at the 7-Eleven decided today that he was going to have, what do they call it, gender reassignment surgery or whatever. You know, you don't, it's not made such a big deal of because it's, you know, quote unquote, a normal person. That's like when the whole Michael Sand thing happened, you know, he's a football player going to play or going to try to play in the NFL, not actually staying on a team, but whatever. You know, like, oh, it's such a huge deal that he's gay. You know, like there's people in this community, you know, in my little bitty town in Kentucky that, you know, come out as gay every day. And, well, I mean, like, not every day, or eventually, like, the entire town would be that way because we're not very big around here, okay? But, I mean, you see what I'm saying. You know, like, there's people who, you know, make those decisions or, you know, make their family and their friends aware of those decisions, like, every day. But it's not, like, we followed, you know, for about 6 months, everybody who watched SportsCenter, and I know that's not you guys, but I still love you. Everybody that watched SportsCenter, you know, knew where Michael Sam ate lunch and what kind of car he drove from his house to practice that day and blah, 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 because he's a gay man playing in the NFL. Well, you know, good that he's, you know, I guess he was the first openly gay man to play in the NFL. Good. I'm glad those milestones are being reached. But, you know, like, that's just, it's the same situation. Like, you know, I don't follow the happenings of, you know, the gay man that works at McDonald's. I don't know what kind of car he drove from his house to work today, you know. But we know when these other people who are in the public eye who deal with the same situations normal people deal with, we know how many times they poop that day. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, like, we as a society make such a huge deal about stuff that if they didn't have the name they have would be completely, like, overlooked and not thought of twice.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it was, and I mean, like, I do the same thing. I'm not, like, criticizing anybody because I do the same thing. You know, I'm currently obsessed with, you know, the basketball team here in Kentucky. I'm obsessed with it. They're about to win their 22nd game. They're 22-0. We're trying to be undefeated. You know, I'm obsessed with that. You guys don't care, but there's probably plenty of stuff that you all care about that I am just like, meh, whatever.
Exactly. That's okay though. That's, you know, it's everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, I'm not the type that, you know, I may not agree with other people's opinions, but that's, you know, we're all born with an asshole and we're all allowed to have an opinion, like the asshole quote says. Last thing I just want to touch on is not that I care, but because you're a sports fan, what did you think of the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl commercials? Did you watch?
I did watch the game, and I watched most of the commercials. I missed this nationwide commercial that everybody was talking about, apparently the kids talking about, like, you know, you're not going to see me graduate from high school because I'm dead. Like, what kind of commercial is that? Like, why make a commercial like that? And then there was the Nissan commercial that absolutely cracked me up to an extent because it was like, you know, they're playing that Cats in the Cradle song and the kid, like, watching his dad on television and he's never around and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he pulls up and picks him up from school one day when he's, like, a freshman in high school or he's older and whatever. And, you know, like, a guy that I follow on Twitter was like, you know, Nissan, the car for dads who aren't around. And I'm just like, so crazy. But, I mean, like, there were some that I was absolutely in love with. Like that McDonald's commercial where it showed people having to, you know, like, quote unquote, pay with lovin'. Like, mm-hmm. I loved that. It makes me want to go to McDonald's and buy something just to see if I can pay for my McChicken sandwich and large Diet Coke with a high five. Like, I really want to see if I can do that. And I mean, like, I could go on an extended rant about the game, but
We don't have to do that.
No, we don't have to. But I'll just tell you, for my gay friends who may not care, when you're on the 1 yard line and you have the best running back in football, you don't throw the ball. We can move on. The Seahawks would have won the game if they had given the ball to Marshawn Lynch. He would have gotten a touchdown. They were on the 1 yard line. Give me a break. And I hate the Patriots. I'll say it. I don't know if we have listeners in the Boston area. I hate the Patriots. Like, I have so much disdain for the Patriots. It's unreal. So I just didn't want them to win. But
yeah.
Whatever
Michael,
did you have any
thoughts on – did you see any of commercials?
I was invited to two different Super Bowl parties. I turned them both down. I did not turn the Super Bowl on. I did not see any of it. I don't even know who played. I mean, I do at this point because people have told me. But I did see, I heard a lot about on Twitter about that nationwide commercial, so I had to check it out. And I mean, okay, I don't see what the big fuss was about. I mean, like, the whole idea of insurance is, you know, like, what happens if there are accidents or if you die? They're selling their product. So it didn't bother me. And then I saw Epiphany from General Hospital was in that super glue commercial, like grip lock or lock or tight lock or something lock, you know, where they're dancing in the fanny packs. She was twerking. And so I heard someone mention that, so I had to look that one up as well. So those are the only two I saw.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we had an extended version today of our show. The soap people probably turned us off a half hour ago, but I just want to wrap up and say, do you guys did you guys, if you guys, watch the winter premiere of How to Get Away with Murder last week?
Yeah.
So what would you think of the premiere, Kelly?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I love this show because it, you think you know what's going on, and then, you don't know what's going on. You have no idea. You really think you know, but, it's like in the real world that used to say that. You know, you think you know, but you have no idea. It keeps you on your toes, and love it. And I love that Viola Davis convinced them not to tell the police, because if she did, if they had told the police, then the show would be over and we would all be sad, because it's the best thing that's happened to us.
Exactly. I'm anxious for this week. Now, Michael, do you watch it? I can't remember.
I do. I had to miss it last week, and I just haven't had a chance to catch up yet. So I'm going to be doing that maybe even tonight, because I'm already caught up with my folks. So probably tonight I'll watch it.
Well, that's good. That's good. Do either one? This is the last one, I promise. Do either one of you watch Scandal?
I do not.
No.
Oh, damn. I want to talk to somebody about Scandal, because it was a mindfuck. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back on our regular weekly basis, but I believe we're switching days due to some behind-the-scenes work schedule changes and stuff. So we will announce when we'll be back next week. We got to work with all four of us to get us all in the same time again, so we can get back on a regular scheduled daily weekly time, because I miss you guys. But anyway, this week was longer because we had to catch up, but next week we'll go back to our hour show, or shorter. Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you guys so much, both of you, being here. I love hearing you guys. I missed you guys very much the last few weeks, and we will talk online. And for you out there listening, be sure to follow the show at Talk Soap, and you can follow me at In Bed with Red, and you can follow Michael at MPGRASSO. And if you want to talk sports or go off on Kelly about her thoughts about Bruce Jenner, you can tweet her at KELLIBETH. Don't throw me the hate. It's like
maybe don't go off on me so much, because I'm sorry. If I offended anybody, that's just how I feel. It's just how you.
That's okay. I was just kidding.
Opinions are like assholes and elbows. Everybody's got one.
Exactly. But I was kind of throwing a little Whoopi Goldberg thing there, because she'll say she'll speak her mind, and then she'll say, "Don't tweet me. I don't care."
And yes. So
that's why I did that. So I don't care. I get lots. I mean, I've not recently, but when my show first started, I got a lot of hateful tweets, and that's what's called the block button. So, all right. Well, we will be back next week. And until then, have a great night. And you guys just practice safe everything. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget, the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.